Hey everyone, today's episode is one of my favorite conversations I had at this year's Super Bowl. Almost as good as the game, and probably some of the best pragmatic advice I've received in a very long time. It came to me from the oldest player ever to play in a Super Bowl. That's right, the kicker, Matt Stover. Matt created the Players Philanthropy Fund. His mission is to help athletes such as Ray Lewis and Ed Reed manage charities that are fiscally sound and help a lot of people. Matt also gave me his best piece of advice. Don't forget to text me at 949-298-2905. That's right, 949-298-2905. And let me know who you'd love to hear from on the next playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
I'm going to introduce an incredible philanthropist. Some people call him a football player, but he was a kicker, so it's in debate. I should have been a kicker. I'd have been much better than any other position. But Matt Stover played football almost as long as my business partner, Warren Moon, but I think is the oldest player ever to win a Super Bowl. An incredible career. And I really wanted to have a fireside chat because in philanthropy, I want to talk about how focus is necessary. And I don't think through all the athletes that I've represented, worked with over the years, that anyone has more focus or vision than a kicker, even more than a quarterback. At least a quarterback's mostly in the game. Imagine sitting there all game just waiting for one kick that could determine the Super Bowl and sometimes does. So I want to bring up an incredible athlete, a kicker, and an incredible philanthropist, Matt Stover. Welcome.
You nailed it.
You got it? All right, we'll move this stuff around. So I want to start in, you know, working with so many charities and doing so many things. What I find athletes that want to give back, first of all, they're about 99.9% of all athletes in the NFL, MLB, NHL. Their true why is to give back. In fact, a lot of them, like me, were motivated to play sports so they could buy their mom a house and a car, right? They grew up with nothing. Anyone here grow up poor? Anyone? Yeah, I feel sorry for the rest of you. And I really mean that. I can't teach my kids what I learned growing up with six kids and a single mom. But ironically, I think the hardest part for most of the athletes that I work with in philanthropy is the receiving side. To consistently remind them that you have to receive yourself. You can't give what you don't have. And the giving side, although the media may portray the negative few, the majority are like you. Incredible people. You wouldn't be a professional athlete if you didn't enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. As you got older, you started learning some of these lessons. Can you share with everyone how important, number one, it is to receive, and how you had to shift that perspective or paradigm in order to help others?
Well, thanks, Dave, and thanks for the opportunity for me to share. The Players Philanthropy Fund, what we do is we manage over 159 different accounts, one of them being Santonio Holmes. Where are you, Santonio? He's around here somewhere. We have his foundation, they just house and park their foundation inside of our platform and keep them compliant to all the back office, whether it's doing events or not. So I'm hyper-focused and hyper-detailed to be in partnership and do the back office for foundation work. And so you have to know where you can get lost in the weeds and whatever you do. So, as a player during my career, I always thought the NFL was just a quick start. It was not a means to an end. It gave me a great opportunity, but during that time I was learning. And one of the things I learned how to do is give away money. But in order to give away money, I had to earn money, and I had to be responsible with that money, and I had to budget, and I had to make sure that I had to give away. And in investing, and after your investments go well, hopefully, then you have to learn how to get money from that, and the best way to do that type of, and be responsible with it. So, Dave, you know, as an athlete, during the course of my career, I stayed focused on my career, but also knowing that at some point I was going to have to transition out of the NFL. And I knew that there needed to be a cause and a purpose that was greater than myself. So while I was playing, I learned how to do that, not only for the team, but also off the field for the community. And from there, I learned how to do it properly myself, and therefore I wanted to make sure that others, athletes, who needed to learn how to do that type of philanthropy or anything with a foundation work, especially private foundations, they knew how to do it properly and not get themselves in trouble and actually harm their brand. So right now I'm working with Ray of Hope. I'm working with Ed Reed and Dwayne Wade and all different kinds of Justin Thomas, a golfer. So I'm dropping some names just so you know that I'm legit. I'm actually
not just a kicker.
Just
he's legit.
Something.
Can I borrow your rings?
Yeah,
then?
Yeah.
Those look legit.
I had to. People don't believe me that I used to kick. You know. So. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, my job is to help the athlete community and others to give responsibly, to raise funds and give funds responsibly, so that the best practices and the legal issues, including my good friend Andrew Morton here, who will be speaking, that we have a partnership and we have people around the player to make sure that they're protected.
Which a lot of times get confused because of the trust issue. You know, so many people come at you as a player, come at you before you're even playing, and so you're conditioned to only trust a few people. A lot of times those people don't have the situational knowledge, experience, or even are willing to ask for that help. And so part of the reason I wanted to have you up here too, because there are individuals that can share in the playing experience, but also that transition experience. It's interesting because you talk about the why, and athletes have bigger whys than most people. They wouldn't be driven to get to where they are through the physical, emotional, and mental pain that you have to go through in such a competitive field. But moreover, it's interesting because I think there's a misconception. I think everybody already knows their why, and it's to help somebody else. They may not have figured out who or what to help, but everybody knows deep down. And where I like to shift the focus and where your business and your focus is focused is on the what. Mm-hmm. So could you share some of the what's that you see out there that athletes and entrepreneurs are not doing in order to effectuate, you know, a legacy, a financial legacy that can support not only their family, but their community as well?
Well, I would say from an athlete perspective, it's budget. Number one, how much is going out and how much is coming in? Does that match up? Two, when you do invest, expect that money to never come back, unless it's just in a good house or the stock market, you know, whatever. But with regard to entrepreneurship, I was blessed enough to start a business called creditcards.com back in 2004. We built the company to a $40 million company and sold it for $144 million. So I had the opportunity as an entrepreneur to actually get into the business world while I was playing, and it sold October 6th, meaning during the season, while I was playing. Mind you, I'm a kicker, I know. How much do you have to do? Nah, I got one play, I got to do it real well. So, you know, through that and my experience with the entrepreneurship and working in business, and then when you do get that influx of cash, what do you do with it and how do you give it away properly? And I had great counsel around me with lawyers and, you know, attorneys and business advisors and people that were around me that allowed me to learn the proper way to do it. So when you talk about trust, eventually as an athlete, you have to trust certain people to advise you. But between you and your wife and those other around you, you can discern what that right is and then do it responsibly. So, man, Dave, I tell you, at the end of the day, when I learned how to do the business piece, I learned how to play and take care of my on the field, and then learn how to give away the money the proper way, the legal way, the best way, where I didn't even pay taxes on the amount that I gave away. So I gave a piece of the company away to a donor advised fund prior to the sale of the company. Didn't take any tax hit on that. That was money that was pre-tax. And I gave away about $2.5 million more dollars because I wasn't taxed on that amount of money. Sounds pretty cool idea, right? So I learned how to do that through good advice, through people that I was able to put within my team. And it's called family office. And I think that the Players Philanthropy Fund and what I want to be is that vertical along with families, whoever they are, athletes or not, to be that philanthropy vertical, to make sure that the families and the players, whomever they are, they don't mess things up in the philanthropic world. And just staying on budget and compliance and all the other things that come in. Who they hire, contract review, whatever it is, they have to do it the right way.
It's interesting that you talk about kind of the pragmatic side of it. When I do executive coaching and help people, I started my career by telling them, you just gotta learn a series of questions to figure out how you can provide value for someone, right? Make room for what you want by being of service and giving it away. And I think I did a disservice to the people like you that I was helping because I completely neglected the harder questions to ask. And, you know, coming from someone that has lost over $100 million, coming from someone that has worked with athletes to keep their money, in my own career, I've learned the series of questions that are most difficult is to learn those series of questions of who can help you, right? Who can help you? Because I find a lot of people, look, this game in 19, when I started as a sports agent with Lee Steinberg, there was an article in Sports Illustrated, 75% of all athletes in the NFL were broken.
78%.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Within 2 years outside of their career.
And it's still basically the same thing, even though everybody knows the dangers, what's going on. And I've found the key insight that I've learned is that we're not teaching, it's not the people. Everybody has good intentions. There's a, literally, in my office, every day, there's at least 10 people that call me going, hey, Mr. Meltzer, please introduce me to athletes. They're getting ripped off. No, they're not. What's really happening is they don't know the right questions to ask of who can help them. And you know, from your experience, what advice would you give on, okay, when you have someone approach you that is a family member, has great credibility, working with six different athletes already?
Great question.
What are those questions?
Great question. Number one, do you have a team around you, an attorney, a business attorney? So if any opportunity comes to you that you're interested in, it you know, lights your eye a little bit, that this attorney, you'll spend $5,000 to $12,000 with this attorney who will vet the deal for you. Because you better know what you know and you better know what you don't know. And so that's the first thing I do. If I'm not willing to spend $10,000 to $12,000 just to look at it, right? That's number one. So the attorney. Of course, the estate attorney, the ability to manage your wealth and be able to pass it to the next generation, right? That's incredibly important. If you're an athlete and you've made a few million dollars, it's important. And then, of course, having a great financial advisor, somebody who can absolutely teach you how to budget and have somebody that can tell everybody around you no, right? The no guy, right? And we've all heard that, but it's true.
You can marry that person, too.
Yeah, amen. I've married it. Yeah, I married it.
Too. I did. That's a save my life.
Yeah. She's here, isn't she?
She is. Thank you.
And so I'm not saying anything that's not normal that you don't already know. It's just how do you activate it? So within that family circle, within that family office that you need to create, you've got to have a few key pieces, and the ones that I named you are incredibly important. Also somebody else who's not going to benefit from you paying them, right? Somebody who's just there, who's been in business before, right? Or who's had been married for 40, 50 years. Whatever that counsel you need, who they're not going to benefit from any money they're going to give you, to have that person around you as well so that you can lean on them. And I think if you teach them that and you bring them in within that network, more times than none, they'll have the right information so they can make the right, ask the right questions and make the right decisions.
Right, and have the right people supporting them, surrounding themselves with the right people and the right ideas, which is exactly, in my life, I thought I could outthink everyone, made tons of money out of law school, and literally had no support. And you know, my no person said, hey, you're really good at making money. Why don't you just focus in on that and get the right people that are good? Like having a law degree, you automatically think you're a good lawyer. I'm a horrible lawyer, so don't hire me as a lawyer.
You're a good agent.
Which is different.
Right.
And furthermore, though, so I started focusing on doubling the amount of money that I make as fast as I can and finding the right people to give it to. And then I literally have a downstream to every penny in the fact that if I need to buy something, I just go to my no wife and ask her, hey, I'm thinking about this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it works.
And you have that no person or that yes person.
And those
person,
questions right. have helped me. And it wasn't a matter of education. It wasn't a matter of honesty or intent, which a lot of people think with athletes, you know, highly educated, you know, highly arrogant. And it was the ego that I had to do everything myself. I got here myself, I want to buy my mom a house and a car, all those things. Last question with advice to the human aspect of people wanting to be responsible for everyone else. You know, through that decision-making problem, even with the
Absolutely.
Right people, one of, you know, Bernie Kosar, myself, people ask me, how do you lose everything? Because every kid that came that was my elementary school friend, you know, in 2008, coming to my house going, you're the only one I know with money, my mom's losing her house, can I borrow 10 grand?
Well, I mentor a lot of young men in Baltimore, and I say that I've got five young men I have been mentoring, and the biggest thing that I got to say, we got to help you first before you can help anybody else. That means we got to get you educated, we got to get you understanding what the market looks like outside, get you a job, right? How do you behave? How do you conduct yourself? Mentor them through that. When you give them those tools, right, then they have the opportunity to help others. And so often that they, right when they get out, they start, they get a mortgage for their mom, or they, or you know, the first, that's what you see in the NFL a lot. The guy's going out and buy. You've got $3 million isn't enough money when you're retired at the age of 26, because that's the average age in the NFL. So you've got to understand, what does that money look like, you know, when you're 60 or when you're 65? I'm 52 right now, and how is that money when I was 42 when I retired? How is that going to sustain myself? Even though I did well outside of the NFL, over that 40-year period of time, I only made netted in my pocket at that time was $9 million. Okay, that's good money, but it wasn't all working for me in the market. I had a house, I had cars, I had furniture, I had some jewelry for the wife, right? So, I mean, so those are the type of things you have to understand, Dave, that that cash flow, that, that Monte Carlo cash flow model, that you really got to understand, what do you have to replace in income when you leave the league is the most important to keep the same standard of living. And most guys don't know what that is, and they burn through it at a higher rate than they can afford.
Yeah, and as we finish up, I think it's important to understand exponential growth and acceleration. When I was 5 years old, my dad left and we had six kids, and I remember saying distinctly in my mind, I'm gonna make $1 million, I'm gonna buy my mom a house, a car, and I'm never gonna have to work again. Right, I'm 52, although I look 10 years older
than him. And a million isn't
enough, right? A year. Yeah. I have three teenage daughters, a wife, and a nine-year-old.
They get in your pocket quick, right?
Exactly.
We got a daughter getting married.
And as we have 1 minute left, I always like to ask this question, beyond the financial side, and I highly encourage you to talk, not to Matt, but to the clients that Matt has here. It'll be much more credible of what their company does and how he does it. Just as a last question, I think it's always important for people that are dynamic, purposeful, passionate, and profitable. What's just the best piece of advice that you can give everybody with this opportunity?
To love. Right, just on. To love others, man. I mean, if you can do that. I mean, I'm in a little bit of a mess right now with one of the accounts, and I'm loving on them, right? I could get angry, or I could flip it and say, I got you. I got your back. We're going to work through this. And to me, that's the most important thing. And vulnerability goes along with that. I think in business, if you can share vulnerability, it actually empowers you, because people know your real heart, and then you can find out what their real heart is. Are they going to squash on you, or are they going to be vulnerable with you and understand, hey, I know what I know, and I know what I don't know? And I think that's incredibly important, that if you can just love others, man, and love them to the fullest you can, including your wife, children, and business partners, and with, through this philanthropy, that's why I'm doing it. Somebody asked me yesterday, as one of the account financial advisors says, you sure you want to work with athletes? I said, you know what's funny? It's yesterday when I got off the phone and I was going through a bunch of stuff with, I said, that was fun. That was a lot of fun, because I'm protecting the player. That's what I want to do, and that's why I set it up. So the what is that for me?
That's awesome. Find the light in everything you do. Let's give a big round of applause for Matt Silver. Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Playbook, but more importantly, I want you to join my text community. I'm doing a lot of fun things there, one-on-one conversations, trainings, giveaways, and it's the first place I release all of the information that I'm giving. So join me at my text platform, 949-298-2905. That's 949-298-2905. Join my exclusive community.